the Business on RTE Radio 1 with Bank of Ireland. As Ireland's enterprise bank, we're lending to more businesses and farmers than any other bank.
RTE Radio 1.
The Business on RTE Radio 1 with Bank of Ireland. As Ireland's enterprise bank, we're lending to more businesses and farmers than any other bank.
Good morning. Coming up, the man behind Ireland's ultimate fighters, the economics of eliminating Ebola, and the bakeries making a lot of dough. You can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 1850715150, email thebusiness@rte.ie, or tweet to @thebusinessrte. But first, this week saw some frenetic activity on the stock market, the likes of which we haven't seen in a while.
Markets in a mess. Share prices drop around the world for a second day as fears grow about a renewed economic slowdown.
Greece is back on the front line of what some fear could be a rerun of the Eurozone crisis. Shares in Athens have slumped and the cost of borrowing jumped for the Greek government.
Global stock markets have dropped sharply this afternoon. In Paris, shares are down 3.6% and 2.8% in Dublin and London.
I mean, the Dow Jones has been on a roller coaster ride the last couple of days.
People are selling. They're panicking, not even sure why they're panicking.
Well, that all sounds fairly serious, but just how serious a situation is this really? What's the cause of all the commotion and how might it impact on Ireland? We're joined by Cliff Taylor of the Irish Times and Laura Devoy of Goodbody Stockbrokers. You're both very welcome to the programme. Cliff, to you first. Why are these stock markets falling?
I think, in a word, last week's problems and last week's volatility was caused by Europe. Fears about Europe, fears about where Europe is going. There's a lot of other things in the background worrying the markets, the situation in the US, Ebola, the fighting in Syria. But really, last week was all about Europe and increasing signs that the Eurozone isn't returning to growth and fears that it might actually be slumping into recession. And a lot of the focus last week in particular was on Germany. Germany is meant to be the locomotive, if you like, that pulls Europe out of recession. But there are increasing signs that the locomotive has stalled. The German government itself cut growth forecasts for this year last week back to 1.3% from 1.8%. They don't expect much of a pickup next year. And I suppose the worrying thing in terms of the indicators that are coming out are that even those very low growth forecasts in themselves look a bit optimistic. There is a risk of another Eurozone recession. That really, I think, is what spooked the markets last week.
Laura, all of those problems with Europe have kind of been in the ether for quite some time, although, as Cliff was pointing out, there's evidence that it might be getting worse. Have stock markets been in a kind of an artificial cocoon removed from reality and they're only starting to look around at what's going on now?
No, I think if you look back last Wednesday, the tipping point was that we had retail sales data out of the US, and that came in a little bit less than expectations. And why the market was focused on that is that the hope is that the US consumer can sustain momentum in the economy and therefore momentum in global equity markets. If you look up until now, we all knew that Europe was teetering on recession. There's nothing new there. But the hope was that the US was strong enough, and it was, that global growth would remain north of 3%. If there's any hint that growth is now stalling in the US, and I say stalling as opposed to grinding in a halt, which is almost what the market was assuming during the week, then people get very fearful about the global growth outlook, and then they start to price the valuation that they pay for markets. And you can see that because all the action this week, or a large part of it, was actually in the bond market. So when we have a growth scare worldwide, usually money flows into the lower risk assets. So people bought German government bonds, but more importantly, they bought German 10-year or US 10-year bonds. And the yield on that went down to 1.83, lower than we had.
Because it was a flood of money looking to buy those as a safe haven.
So moving into safe haven, same in the currency market, moving into the dollar, moving into the yen. Like, it's uncanny to believe that those yields are actually lower now than they were at the height of the Eurozone crisis. Last year, just before, we had the idea of the withdrawal of this kind of free money that had been ongoing. And what it does, you know, in keeping with this idea of deflation becoming more of an issue, people are now going to look more for more central bank action. But where in 2012, the assumption was they're not going to do anything. then last year it was, well, they'll leave free money forever. This time around, I think people believe that monetary authorities will act, and probably the ECB. But now we're questioning, are the bullets that they have left enough to actually stimulate demand?
And whether they're going to fire them, I suppose, as well. Yeah, for, right. Fire both barrels. Cliff, if you look at the economics of it, people who haven't invested in the stock market, and perhaps maybe indirectly they have because they're looking at pension funds and things like that. But outside of how the stock markets might do, do you think this is cause for concern, particularly from an Ireland perspective?
Well, I guess there's two issues for Ireland. The main one is the obvious one. We depend on exports to drive our economy. And two of our biggest markets are the US and the Eurozone. About 35% of exports goes to the Eurozone, about 25% to the US. So we need those economies to keep growing, to keep our recovery strong, to keep our budget figures on course. And also, I suppose, one of the things that was different to what happened last week, as Laura said, was people started to get a bit spooked. They started to get a bit scared. The last year, the story has been that people will invest money, not anywhere, but will take a bit of a risk in return for getting a slightly higher interest rate reward. What changed last week was they were going back to safe havens. And Ireland as a country, we still need to raise a lot of money on the markets over the next few years to fund our borrowings. We still need to raise money later this year to refinance our IMF borrowings. We don't need the markets to get spooked again. Our interest rates for Irish borrowings are very low at the moment. They spiked up a little bit last week, but are still remain very low. Still
but if they're worried about stock markets, let's say, and then as Laura was saying, you get a flood of money going out of the stock market and into things like buying government bonds, then that in theory should keep our bond levels low, and that should be good news.
It should, but I think what we saw last week was investors shying away from anything that had any element of risk attached to it. So they're going into German government bonds, they're going, as Laura said, into US government bonds, real safe havens. Now, I think Ireland has managed to get a lot of confidence in the markets over the last few years. We've seen our borrowing costs come down, but we're still not Germany, we're still not the US, we're still not a big country, we're still a small, highly indebted country on the periphery of Europe. So we're not quite in that box of a safe haven.
Laura, we seem to be doing maybe a little bit better than Italy, for example. I was looking at the figures. Michael Noonan is projecting, if it goes to plan, next year Ireland's debt to GDP ratio will be about 111% and we'll run up a deficit of 2.7. Italy, their debt to GDP is 130% and they're planning a deficit of 2.9, and they're the third biggest economy in the Eurozone.
I mean, I think it comes back to the whole idea of QE, or printing money only buys you time, and at the end of the day it comes down to structural reforms. And we know in Ireland that we've taken a lot of pain, that we've become infinitely more competitive. That hasn't been the case to date in Italy and France, and that's why during the week Merkel came out and she said they had submitted their budgets and she wanted them to respect what had been put in place in the growth and stability pact, so they need to do more. It's funny, so often sometimes when you get volatility in markets, it can actually cause action. Like I met Schäuble a few years ago at an investor meeting, and he said when markets are very complacent,
the former German finance minister, yeah.
When markets are very complacent, sometimes things don't happen. But when markets are volatile, it actually pushes things, as in 2012 with the European crisis. And one thing I'd like to just mention, you were saying there about Ireland and the impact for Ireland. I mean, the measures that the ECB took in June, they've announced two sets of measures, and one of those is trying to take existing bank loans off balance sheet, give them back to the ECB, and that frees up more credit to lend. If you look at the average interest rate that SMEs are paying in peripherals, it's north of 4.5%. In core Germany and France and so forth, it's about 2.7%. So an awful lot of the focus of this stimulus is actually going to be to try and narrow that gap, which ultimately should be of benefit for SMEs in Ireland. And these measures that took place in June, they'll take time to work on the economy. The more immediate impact is on the currency, and you can see that already coming through with the depreciation of the euro. And for every kind of 5 cent move on the euro dollar rate, that'll add about 0.3% to GDP in Europe. But more importantly, it will also help inflation. And I think these measures that have been announced by the ECB will take time, and particularly with the stress tests only due next week. I mean, the focus of all the banks in Europe has been, let's pass these capital tests, not necessarily let's get this new money into the market.
Cliff, in a word, is this going to spoil Michael Noonan's party and his future growth projections that he announced? Should we be worried?
Not unless it gets much worse. I think there were certainly warning signs for the markets last week, and there are worrying signs in the Eurozone. I think Ireland will be okay, provided the US continues to grow and the Eurozone economy can kind of chunter on at a reasonable rate, if the Eurozone falls into another recession, that's the risk for us. So far, I don't think there's any evidence of that, you know, real evidence that's going to happen.
Okay, so the party might not be spoiled just yet. Cliff Taylor of the Irish Times and Laura Devoy of Goodbody Stockbrokers, thanks for joining us on the programme. In case you find the stock markets a little bit confusing and you want just a reminder of how they work, this is how.
You have to remember two things about the markets. One is that they are made up of very sharp and sophisticated people. And the second thing you have to remember is that the financial markets, to use the common phrase, are driven by sentiment.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? Well, things, let's say, are just going along as normal in the market. And then, suddenly, out of the blue, one of these very sharp and sophisticated people says, "My God, something awful's going to happen! We've lost everything! Oh, my God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Shall I jump out of the window?
Shall I jump out of the window? Exactly. Let's all jump out of the window.
Sell!
We've lost it.
Sell!
Yes, precisely. Yes, precisely." And then a few days later, this same sophisticated person says, "You know, I think things are going rather well." And everybody says, I agree with you. I think we're rich. We're rich.
Yes. We're rich. Yes. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye. Yes.
Yes,
and that's what we call market sentiment.
Market sentiment, it's as easy as that. Bird and fortune there.